seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the first book of Samuel, chapter 3 and verse 21. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3 and verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3 and verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I believe it will be the continual exercise of a real child of God to have a precious Christ revealed to them. And here we read in the lesson, didn't we, the wonderful account of how the Lord first revealed himself to Samuel and how he made himself known to Samuel, first of all in a very solemn, searching way, and then revealed to Samuel what he would do to Eli's house because of the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And that solemn searching message. But what has been so laid upon me regarding this service this afternoon is for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And we hope to sing at the close of the service that beautiful hymn, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Now as we begin, let us each look in our own heart. Is that our prayer? Because it's a very solemn thing if it isn't. It's a continual exercise to a real child of God that the Lord would reveal himself to them. And you see, the Lord was not bound to means nor places where he did reveal himself to those in Holy Writ. You can go back to godly Abraham and how the Lord Jesus was revealed to him when he was to offer up Isaac under commission of heaven. And the Lord revealed a precious Jesus to him in that ram caught in the thicket. And how he had that blessed view of the dear Lord Jesus in all his sufferings. And we read, don't we? And concerning Abraham, he saw the day of Christ and was glad. And what a blessed time that was, wasn't it? Can we look back this afternoon, any of us, where the Lord has revealed himself to us like he did to Samuel? Because when he does, you'll never forget it, child of God. And then we think of the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road where the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him. He said, didn't he? Saul did then, who art thou, Lord? And what did the Lord Jesus say? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. the Lord Jesus revealed his identity to Saul, who he was. And you know, there were many times with the dear Apostle Paul in his life where the Lord Jesus was revealed to him as his Saviour, his Redeemer, his all and in all. And this is, to my soul, has been such a vital thing in the last few days. The necessity, the great need of the Lord being revealed to us as my Jesus. Can you say this afternoon, as he reveals him, as he has revealed himself, he's my Jesus, my Redeemer, my Saviour, my friend? But then, of course, you can look at the case of Moses at the burning bush, how the Lord Jesus was revealed to him there. And what effect did it have? You see, when we know a little by the Holy Spirit's divine teaching of the Lord Jesus being revealed to us, what effect does it have upon you? What effect did it have upon Samuel? It brought him into great concern, first of all. Secondly, it humbles the poor sinner. It humbled Moses, didn't he? He said, "I will unloose the shoes from off my feet, for the ground whereon I stand is holy ground." As the Lord revealed himself to him there at that burning bush. And then you can think of dear old Jacob in that beautiful 28th chapter, when the Lord revealed himself to him at Bethel. And what did he say? And he said this, and he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And before that we read this beautiful word, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And oh, how the Lord was so revealed to him there at Bethel. He never forgot it, you know. Have we got a Bethel that we never forget? You know, continually, dear old Jacob, through his life, went back to Bethel in his own soul's feelings. Remember that place, you know. And if the Lord Jesus has ever been revealed to you as your Saviour, your Redeemer, your all and in all, you'll never forget the spot. It'll be a sacred spot of ground. But then, you think of the dear woman at the well of Samaria. She was a poor sinner, fallen in sin, just like us, really, if we know our own hearts. The Lord Jesus was to reveal himself to her there, by that well. She said, didn't she, "I know that the Messiah shall come. When he has come, he shall tell us all things." I love that word, you know, what Jesus answered her. "I that speak unto thee am he." He revealed to her his identity, didn't he? He uncovered to her who he was. He opened to her that He was the Saviour of sinners and her Saviour. And well could she go into the city and say to them, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, it was a wonderful testimony, wasn't it, to that city, of who had been revealed to her. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. But then, you can think of the wonderful case of Thomas. You look how many times we are plagued like he was with unbelief. The other disciples had seen the Lord, a risen Saviour. And after 8 days, Thomas was with them. He said, except I shall put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And oh, how the Lord revealed himself to a dear Thomas. Thomas, reach hither thy finger and put it in the print of the nails. Reach hither thine hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And what did Thomas say? And you know, it came out of a very soft-hearted Thomas, he did. All that unbelief was to be swept away. And there may be those, if I may just pause a moment, this afternoon that are so plagued with unbelief. The hymn writer said, didn't he, dear Mr. Cowper, going back to last Lord's Day, the hymn, blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan God's work in vain, but God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And you look how he made it plain to dear Thomas as he showed him those pierced hands and side. And what did Thomas say? Again out of a very soft heart. My Lord and my God. And when the Lord Jesus is revealed to your poor soul and mine, you'll be able to say that. My Lord. And my God. But then we think of the two, I hope to read it at the Lord's Supper in a moment, of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. You often think of those two dear souls, you know, they enjoyed the sweet presence of the dear Redeemer. He drew near and he went with them. As many, you know, the Lord's dear children know what it is for him to draw near and go with them. In their trials, in their afflictions, in their troubles, in their temptations. But you know, it wasn't until they got to Emmaus that he revealed to them his identity, who he was. And what did he do? I often think of it, you know, as we come to the Lord's Supper. He showed them his hands and his side. The infallible proof that this was a risen Saviour, their Redeemer, their all and in all. And they knew him. Oh, they did. You know, they were never to forget that occasion, how he showed them those pierced hands and side and feet. I often quote the verse, but had I a glimpse of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. Vanish as though I saw them not, like a dim candle, dies at noon. You know, really, we have to do with so much of time things, don't we? But you know, they're all perishing. Let us come to, we know it's necessary while we're here, but you know there's no salvation in it. And often you will know at funerals, I try and go through a little of the natural man or the natural lady's life, but then come to the point, there's no salvation in all they have done. It's what the Lord has done for them. I remember reading an obituary of a vicar in one of the villages in this country, and it was in the daily paper. And you know that a whole page of all what he had done in the village, and that it was all good works. But you know, when we read it all, it seemed very sad to me. The Lord is the judge, but it seems very sad. There was nothing of what, not one word of what the Lord had done. Here we read in the book of God, what does it say? A living dog is better than a dead lion. And really that man, you know, was just like a dead lion. All power and what he'd done in life. But what was there in death? Very solemn, you know. I'd rather be among the living dogs that lick of the crumbs that fall from their master's table than be a dead lion. You see, a lion, when it is live, is the strongest of all beasts, the king of all beasts. But once it's dead, it's useless, isn't it? And you think how solemn to have a religion like that. May we be amongst those like Samuel, and may you, dear young ones, hear the Lord's voice like Samuel did in your early days. You know, it's a wonderful chapter, that is, where the whole case of Samuel was wonderful in those early chapters in this book, isn't it? The first being the great exercise of his dear mother Hannah, that she might have this man child, and how the Lord gave him to her. But then you think how she was willing to lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. And then too, in this chapter we read together how the Lord spoke to him in those early days. I often quote the word, don't I? It's good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And we read in that same blessed chapter that he both hope and wait for the salvation of the Lord. But to come back to this word, for the Lord revealed himself, no other, you see. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. Shiloh was a wonderful place to Samuel, you know, and to others. And may we have those places in our souls where he reveals himself. But I must go deeper. What about each of our own experiences? Do we know what it is for him to reveal himself to us in times and beds of affliction? There shall be sometimes some very sacred places, you know, when the Lord reveals himself on a bed of deep affliction, when the sinner's laid ever so low. He reveals to them his agonies, his sufferings, all that he bore in suffering, bleeding, dying for them. And oh, what a sacred bed that'll be. Why, it's a bed of love, you see. Loving it all. Let's go back to that cloud we named this morning. One thing I should have named, maybe it's been with me ever since, was that was cloud was full of love. And you think in the beds of affliction, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. It's all done in love. Not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. And in that affliction, you know, to have a little view by faith of a precious Jesus and make the very bitter part of the affliction sweet. Oh, it will. And then you know what it is to have him revealed to you under the ministry of the word. As a precious Christ is preached and he's revealed to your soul as the one thing that is needful, the altogether lovely. You read through the Song of Solomon, what he was to the spouse. There was none to her like her beloved. Why? Because he revealed himself to her as her saviour, her redeemer, her all. She wanted nothing else, only him. We sing, don't we? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And you look at the dear dying thief upon the cross, how the Lord revealed to him in those last moments of his life that he alone would be the only Saviour that could redeem him. What does he say as he looks at Christ? But this man hath done nothing amiss. He saw the blessed perfection there was in the dear Redeemer, and all that he needed for his soul's salvation was in a precious Jesus. But then you can look at Simeon. It was revealed to him, we are told, by the Holy Spirit, that he should not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And when they took in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, what do we read? Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He could lay down and die, couldn't he? We sing in the hymn, if Jesus is ours, we have a true friend whose mercy endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our hopes may decline. We cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. But just briefly, I must leave it. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And that really interested my soul when I read that word, by the word of the Lord. And what does that really mean? It came to come to me like this so sweetly. The word of the Lord. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's full of price. By the word, by a precious Jesus, the word of the Lord. You know, he's the centre, if I may put it simply, of attraction in the word of God, a precious Jesus. He should be in our preaching. The one thing needful. And this is how the Lord revealed himself to Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. What the Lord spoke to him, he had a blessed view of the dear Lord Jesus. All he would need through life and all the trials of it and through all the opposition of the Philistines and all what would come in the days following, Jesus must be the one thing needful. Well, there are many other occasions where the Lord revealed himself to his dear people in the Word of God. But may we, each of us, be favoured as we venture on from this day forward to know and to plead, Lord, do reveal thyself in the trials you're walking in the afflictions I've named, in all the steps of providence, the steps of grace. Oh, how sweet it is when Jesus is revealed in it all. But then when we come to the swellings of Jordan, oh, that he would reveal himself to us then. You know, when Christian and Hopeful went down into the river, and each of us will have to go down into the river of death, what did they prove? That the bottom was good. Underneath were the everlasting arms. And you know, the everlasting arms of the dear Lord Jesus, they never flag. They never become weary. They have all power in heaven and in earth to hold the sinner up and carry their souls home to God. To be with him without a veil between. And that the poor tried sinner can crown him Lord of all. Well, I've only scratched around the surface of this. It's a profound word. But may it be the stirring up of each of our hearts, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And then too in the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house. Like the dear woman in William Huntingdon's day, when she came to see him about joining the church and being baptised, and of course William Huntingdon was never exercised in it, concerning that sacred ordinance, and he said to the woman, "My dear, why do you want to venture?" She said, "Well, I've had a blessed view of Jesus in the water." And dear, what did dear William Huntingdon say to her? "If that's so, my dear, then you go. You venture." He wasn't going to put anything in her way. Why? Because in William Huntingdon's heart, a precious Jesus was the one thing needful in that dear woman. He was the one thing needful too, and she saw him in the waters. Oh, may we have a glance, a glimpse of him. It'll put everything right, poor soul, for your poor soul and mine. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.